We milk a little over 300 cows and about 900 acres in two counties. I do represent the Oregon Dairymen Association as their newly elected president. And at the onset, I want you to know that Oregon Dairymen's Association and the Oregon Dairymen supports clean water and the present CAFO permit system, but we're strongly opposed to House Bill 3445 for several reasons. First of all, the present CAFO permit system has been evolving over the last couple of years, and with much time and effort donated by animal farmers, as well as time from salaried federal, state, and county officials, and we feel that the system should be given a little bit more time to work. Under the present CAFO system, much progress and awareness to problems have been made. As Peter has mentioned, fines have been imposed on violators up to $8,000, and so there's plenty of teeth in the present system to get people's attention. Also, we must realize that pollution problems didn't start yesterday, nor can they be solved in a few months. It takes time and a lot of money. The average cost per dairy operation to switch from pumping liquid waste daily to separated solids and storing that waste liquid for summer application is from $50,000 to $75,000. The time required to get necessary county, state, and federal permits to construct animal waste facility is long and arduous. I personally started the permit system in 1988 in March. To this date, I still don't have the permit from Water Resources to apply the wastewater from the lagoon to the land. Therefore, I can't build the lagoon. I have a small one that's too small for my present system, but I've been delayed more than a year, went through a whole good dry summer of not being able to build a lagoon because of the permit system that we're required to be under. I don't think animal waste should be handled as irrigation. Also, House Bill 3445 is unfair in that it permits the cost onto a relatively small number of selected farmers. If Oregon is truly concerned about pollution and feels that more bureaucracy and dollars are needed to solve our problems, then there should be a general permit for all landowners on a per acre charge. Pollution comes in many forms and from many sources. Most pollutants, other than animal waste, do not have a distinctive color and are hard to detect. Some of these other sources of pollution are commercial fertilizers and pesticides from grass seed and grain fields, row crops, nurseries. Many of the foresters are fertilizing their forests today and using sprays, and all kinds of pollutants from city storm sewers. We're all guilty of polluting in varying degrees, but animal agriculture has a permit system with penalties and means to handle complaints to force compliance of any polluters who are unregulated and unwilling to cooperate. There's still a few bad apples around, but the present system's going to get them. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. In listening to both of your testimony, and you're the president of the organization.
Of Oregon Dairymen Association.
And your association is the one that puts the white signs in front of on the road?
That's true.
And what do they say?
It says Dairy of Honor, sir.
And you issue them?
Yes, they come through the dairy center.
What does that hypothetically, a guy that was violating pollution wouldn't have one? Or do those signs mean that?
No, sir, I think you don't understand. The Dairy of Honor is strictly based on road appearance of the dairy. Mm-hmm. To entice the farmer to improve the looks of his place. You can't sell milk from a cruddy looking place. And the idea is to have a decent kind of road appearance.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
Written testimony goes first, sir.
Excuse me. You guys going to be next?
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Hannah.
Is John Craven in the audience, please? John, could I see you outside for just a second? John's from Tillamookai Creamery. I talked to him for a minute. I didn't see him sitting over here.
You want to identify yourself for the record? And we have your written testimony, so if you'll just paraphrase for us.
Okay.
We appreciate it.
I'm Pat Bryant, and we live up on Raybell Road in northern Marion County. And we've been out there for about 17 years.
And I'm Rosalie Jackson. I'm her neighbor, and we've been there for about 13, going on 14 years.
Okay, my husband is ill today, and
so is mine.
And hers just got sick and had to leave, so we don't know if it's, maybe it's pollution. Anyway, I want to read my husband's testimony that he couldn't give and possibly make a comment of my own. I do have some snapshots that show this pollution. If you would like to see them, I can hand them up here. Shall I go ahead?
Yeah, you don't need to read it, just because we, most okay. of the committee members are reading it right now.
Okay. The bill provides much better leadership to agencies that now exist. It does not address the current single greatest deterrence to agency performance, namely the interagency agreements. The state's and nation's greatest knowledge source and engineering and hydrologic capability is not recognized in this bill or existing agreements. These are, and this might answer one of their questions, are the Oregon Department of Water Resources and the U.S. Geological Survey. House Bill 3445 should mandate Oregon Department of Water Resources as a technical and engineering review support to ODA. My husband's question is, why does the Oregon DEQ not follow the Federal Clean Water Act? In our area, the little town of Donald with 300 people was forced to build a pollution control system costing into seven digits. And CAFOs with a sewage equivalent of cities of 10,000 persons plus are not treated as industrial operations. That would be prohibitive, but there's got to be some way of cleaning up their act. Soil Conservation Service, Ag Extension, and USDA should only be advisors to Oregon agencies. There is nothing in this bill that corrects the current information shortage when a CAFO operator wishes to enlarge, to establish or enlarge. It should require the state to furnish soil, surface, and groundwater, climatic, and design requirements resulting therefrom. We feel that in some cases these people are encouraged by these agencies to expand beyond what they should, mainly because the government agencies have a certain amount of money to spend by a certain time. The Oregon Department of Water Resources and the Geological Survey say the Willamette Valley, and particularly the northern part, has one of the finest groundwater aquifers in the world. Its shallowness, rapid annual recharge from rainfall, and population it serves makes it one of Oregon's most valuable resources. And we have had pollution in our area for a good portion of the years that we've lived out there. We raised filbert trees. They do not like that type of fertilizer. It may be good for something else, but it sends up sprouts and stuff at the wrong time. And if the nuts fall into that poop that comes over when they shoot it out with their big gun, then we would lose our crop for the whole year, and that's our retirement money. They don't like coliform bacteria. Okay, thank you.
I'm Rosalie Jackson, and I'm filling in for my husband, and you'll excuse me if I don't follow protocol, or in fact, I didn't intend to speak today. I think one of the things that I noted was that I think is a problem. We own about 50% of Skookum Lake, and it's being polluted, at least we feel it's being polluted by a dairy that's close by. The dairy was once a small farmer and has now increased his herd so drastically that I think that he would be qualified as an agribusiness. And I think this is where part of the problem lies. And I think that a dairy that increases that large should have to meet different standards than the small. Not that anybody should be allowed to pollute, don't get me wrong, but there should be the pollution. Problem is so much greater on a bigger agricultural business than it would be on the small dairy farmer. And I think this is part of the problem. I think there should be no increase of herds allowed until first the anti-pollution stuff is in place. What we have found is that our neighbor increased his herd, and then he comes and he says, oh, now what am I going to do with it? And so then they build a big lagoon, and that went against our best advice, and if you read the paper that I sent, you'll probably get a little bigger picture of it. I also feel that there should be inspections. The man that was here, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, he said that he didn't think there should be annual inspections. Definitely there should be annual inspections, and they should not be advanced warned so that they can clean up their act. It's backwards. The way the system runs now is backwards. They are allowed to increase, and then we try to clean up the pollution. We as fellow farmers and neighbors don't have any alternatives until we have been polluted. Once we're polluted, then what do we do? And what do they do? And we're all caught in a vicious circle. So it needs definitely that they need to have inspections, and they should not be allowed to increase drastically without having a permit. Another statement was made that there are other sources that pollute, and that's true. We do not deny this. We only say that's not the issue today. The issue today is cattle pollution, and it doesn't excuse their pollution because others pollute. And I think that'll be all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do have an infrared film that shows the area, that shows where the Newberg wells sit, and that's one thing that we're concerned about.
Why don't you leave it here? We'll take a look at it.
Okay, will do.
I'm sorry. I forgot a couple of things, and my husband will be angry. my husband thinks that it's very important that there be a time frame schedule set up to force operators to comply in a reasonable time. Now, the way the system works, if we understand it properly, is that if they may have a list, they may be out of compliance in about 10 different areas. Okay, if they start making any kind of a compliance in one area, then they are cooperating, and nothing else ever done, and there are no time limits. They could take 100 years to complete this according to the way we understand the way it works. And so we think there should be a time frame schedule. It should be a reasonable, it should not be one that's going to be unreasonable for them, but there should be a reasonable time that they have to comply. Non-compliance penalties should be enforced. And we also feel that if a CAFL operator messes up the place, they ought to have to clean it up. And if they can't clean it up, they whatever agencies are required to clean it up should come in and clean it up, and they should have to pay for it.
Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. I'm going to call three people at the same time so that we can hurry this along a little bit. Delane Fry, Leland Twigg, and Tom Fitzgerald. Go ahead.
My name is Delane Fry. I live at Route 6, Box 897, Hillsboro, Oregon. My family and I own and operate Licorice Lane Farm, a fourth-generation dairy farm located near Hillsboro in Washington County. I will eliminate most of my testimony since it reiterates what Peter Jensen and Ed Hemingway have already said. Most dairy farmers are good guys. I don't see why we treat the good guys the same as the bad guys. I'm all in favor of bringing the person who is out of compliance and is violating into compliance by whatever means is necessary. But it doesn't seem fair nor reasonable to me that I should have to pay a fee so that you can enforce compliance upon my neighbor, and vice versa. If he is not out of compliance and I am the violator, then why should he have to pay the fee for my transgressions? Dairy farmers can only support so many burdens. These additional costs certainly are a burden. I went back and looked up a few prices that I would like to just leave and share with you. The feed prices in 1980 for 16% dairy feed was $140. In 1989, $175. Hay prices, good alfalfa then was $85. It's $125 today. Workman's compensation, $20 a hundredweight for dairy farmers. That's an unbearable burden. Washington and Idaho both are 2 to 3 times less than us, and we're in competition with these folks. We have to have the same type of production cost to have fair competition. Wages for our employees have increased in the last 9 years. Medical and Blue Cross, for the same coverage in 1980 for a family of four or more, it was $85 a month. Today it's $318 a month. A John Deere 115 horsepower base price was $35,279 in 1980. It's $51,431 today. And here's where the rub comes. The support price, which basically covers the price of milk, in 1980 was $12.80 a hundredweight. Today, it's $11.10, and on July 1st, it's going to drop to $10.60. That's $2.20 less than it was in 1980. That's 21% less income, and we've got all these higher production costs. We have a program now, the CAFL program. Please give it a chance to work. And basically, I do support user fees, but they need to be fair. They need to be necessary, they need to be reasonable, and when they replace a tax-supported program, they need to be offset by a reduction in taxes. Thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you. State your name for the record.
Leland Twigg, representing Twigg Farm, Cornelius, Oregon. We started dairying there in 47 with 8 cows. We now milk about 190 cows, not because we like to milk more cows, but it's been necessary to make a living. I would like to go on record against House Bill 3435 and support the testimony of the preceding dairyman. This bill is not needed. The problem is being covered by the SCS, Department of Ag and DEQ. We don't need to create another bureaucracy. It appears we are creating an anti-agriculture climate in Oregon. We're going to end up killing the goose that's laying the golden egg. We're working now on our farm with SCS to construct a new system for our dairy. We saw the problem, asked for help from SCS. We were not reported. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Did Mr. Fitzgerald come in?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Fitzgerald. I am president of the Oregon Poultry Council, a member of the CAFO Technical Advisory Committee, and I'm employed at Edelweiss Farms, which is an egg producer in the state of Oregon. I agree with Representative Gilmore. There are problems out there with CAFOs, and in my association with the Technical Advisory Committee, I've become aware of that. And worked on the formulation of the general permit that is now in force. Currently, the poultry industry is not required to have the general permit. And there was some confusion about this a few minutes ago from the Department of Agriculture testimony. What you need to be in to qualify to have a general permit is you a CAFO, which all of us are CAFOs, but you also have to be operating a liquid waste disposal system. The poultry industry is not operating liquid waste disposal systems, lagoons, and these kinds of things. Most of what these pollution problems and these concerns are addressed to, and we do not discharge any waste to the waters of the state. I might give you a brief background on what we do with our manure. In the broiler industry, most of it is bagged. And all the poultry is basically grown indoors in houses and barns, and the manure is collected. We keep it dry. We don't mix water with it. We don't store it liquid, and that keeps us out of a lot of trouble. In fact, the brothers are bagging it, even some of the layers are bagging it, and it's sold in Fred Meyer's, Payless, you name it, for gardeners. The rest of it that isn't in the broiler industry, that isn't going into a bag product, is sold to individuals by the pickup load or however much for their gardens. The egg producers, along with bagging it, some operations are on a daily clean out where they scrape the manure up each day and haul it out and spread it in the fields. Other egg producers are operating deep pit houses which store manure up to a year and a half and dry it, and it composts in there, and then we can spread it on the fields. In the future, we're seeing a big rise in organic farming. I know the legislature has worked on some bills relating to that this session. As a matter of fact, the company that I'm associated with, all of our manure is going to a guy who's getting into organic farming in a big way, on a commercial level. The market demand is starting to be there for produce that's produced that way, and there's a great interest amongst farmers to start going into that production. And since we have the product, it's in a dry basis, they can haul it, transport it, spread it on the fields with no problem. We're really meeting that need. And to that degree, I feel that we, in our industry, are more part of the solution than part of the problem. Along with that, there have been virtually no complaints against poultry operations. The few complaints that have come in had more to do with processing slaughterhouses and further processed products, and not really confined animal feeding operations in the poultry area. We do have reservations about House Bill 3445 and that regards how the poultry industry is going to be treated under 3445. The first question, do we need a permit? The testimony of Dick Nichols from DEQ and Phil Ward from ODA tended to confuse me. And if you look at Section 7, D, on page 4 of the amendments, Dick Nichols stated that reads, construct, install, operate, or conduct any industrial, commercial, confined animal feeding operation or other establishment activity or any extension or modification thereof in addition to the operation or conduct of which would cause an increase in the discharge of waste into the waters of the state. And he used that to kind of narrow the focus of which CAFOs are going to be covered. Now, in hearing his testimony there, I would think that maybe we don't need the permit. Like, currently we don't need it. However, when we go back to Section 5, 6, let's see, Section 5, nope, yeah, Section 5, 6, it's on page 3, number 6. This, I guess, is referring to who needs a permit. If a confined animal feeding operation does not directly discharge waste into waters of the state and is smaller than the categories listed in subsection 1. Now, if that and had been an or, we would be exempt from it. But with the and, since most poultry operations are quite large as far as the number of head of livestock that we have, that would tend to make us think that we would have to get this permit. And I would like some clarification as far as, you know, from either Representative Gilmore or members of the committee as to whether we really need it or not. Currently, we do not require it. The industry has been quite responsible, and this is not to say that the poultry industry in, you know, every state is this way. It's very common to have poultry operations with lagoon systems and so on and so forth, and they're having tremendous problems, just as any of these lagoon systems operating here. But here, we are very concerned about water pollution. We're very concerned about public image. We don't like to have, you know, problems with our neighbors, such as been expressed in previous testimony here. And I think we've succeeded very well in being good citizens. And So I would, you know, could make a case that maybe we should not have this permit. Now, as far as the fee schedule goes, that on page 2 of these amendments, these fees border on punitive for people in our industry. You have to understand, the people in this industry are, they're not a lot of us, but we have a lot of animals. You hear talk about 300 dairy cows, or 150, or 200, or 500, or something like this. I mean, we're talking about egg producers in the hundreds of thousands, broiler growers, 50,000. And this is kind of a minimum to make a living. You know, we operate on a large scale. We never have enough land to dispose of our manure. That's why we worked so hard to develop markets for that manure. We don't try to dispose of it on our own land. And so I think the fee structure, the way it's presented here...
Can I ask one question?
Yes.
If you were not in the bill, or let me rephrase it. For those in the poultry business, whether it be eggs or whatever, if you weren't using water and you were exempt from these, would you have any problems with the bill?
No, not okay. None whatsoever.
Okay.
I mean, that's our main concern. We have been exempt. And when you get to the part of the fees, we'll
there are some that use water. For Crest. Crest will.
Now, that I heard that, and I think that is associated with their slaughterhouse operation.
Yeah. Okay. Probably so.
It wouldn't be in the production.
That they would have, you know, whatever they're doing there, with or without it, mm-hmm. chicken one, okay. in their place. And
I think the major concern, Mr. Chairman, that I had was the pollution of the waters, however it gets there. Yeah. And you could do the mathematics if you had 10,000 chickens for whatever purpose at 5 cents an animal. You know, how much that is annually.
What is it?
It's half a cent, excuse me, half a cent. So, you know.
So if I could,
I don't think that amount of money is prohibited staying in business.
No. Well,
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Gordon Satram. I'm one of the owners of Willamette Egg Farms. And over the years, we've discovered that poultry manure is a valuable product, and we don't treat it as a waste. We use it as a fertilizer, mm-hmm. and an organic fertilizer. And we sell it to customers, and at the present time, or in the last couple of years, we haven't had enough to supply the demand that...
Have you ever had a violation?
No.
Okay.
But under this fee schedule, my company would end up paying $6,000 a year, over $6,000 a year, at a half a cent a bird and $25 base fee. The three of us sitting at this table would be funding roughly 15% of the program.
That's not the figures I got. But, you know, I respect your judgment on what you thought, but I can't remember where my fee schedule is here, but...
Mr. Chair, while Representative Gilmore is looking, may I ask any witness what river this is, the photograph, the aerial photograph that we have up here?
That's Willamette.
Willamette.
What it shows is the area we live in,
yes.
and Newburgh well
right.
with potential pollution because of the...
I thought it was the Willamette.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry my husband isn't here. He could point out where we are and where it is. But that's the Willamette.
The lake on here is Skookum Lake.
Yeah, the lake is Skookum Lake.
Mr. Chairman, the figures I got from the Department of Agriculture show there's 3 million birds at a half a cent. That's $1,500. Okay, I mean, that's the ones they gave me.
But those numbers don't work out. I mean, we've got 300,000 where I'm at, and that would be $1,500 at half a cent.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I didn't do the addition.
Yeah, our company has got $1,250,000. The $6,000, it's over $6,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My name is Dick Friesen. I manage Skyline Farms and also the president of Oregon Poultry Industry Association. I agree with the problem, the solutions to the problem with polluting water and everything. I won't even get into that. But we do object to the fee schedule. My company is going to pay $5,000.